interesting little voice. So that gives me a marker point for splitting the tape. So law of consciousness reflects experience. What you put out, you will receive, and vice versa. And the last one, the law of fully inhabiting a state of consciousness in order to grow. Another way of saying that is that you can't skip steps. That as you move along in your evolutionary development, if you skip something, you'll have to go back and get it. Just think of it like childhood. That if a child grows up but it forgets how to hold a fork, someday it's going to have to learn how to fold a fork. And because the muscles were easier to develop when they were 2 and 3, when they're 5 or 6, it may take more time to learn to use a fork. It just feels awkward and you're not used to it. But you still got to learn to use a fork, cosmically and spiritually. You need to inhabit these different states of consciousness and awareness in order to grow. So are there any questions about the spiritual principles? Okay. So see if there's one that irritates you. It's the fastest way to figure out where you may be manifesting some negativity in your life. Because breaking spiritual principles is like speeding. Eventually, the cop is going to catch you.
Well, this last week, I've noticed in reading these a real decided pain of doubt with regard to cause and effect. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to wholeheartedly receive that, you know, in a full way. That all my attitudes have a consequence.
Mm-hmm. So, did you notice that when you paid attention, you did notice cause and effect?
I wasn't sure about being able to see it at that moment. It still seemed separate or distant.
There are two quotes from the lecture Commitment, Cause, and Effect that may help here. They're in the same paragraph, but they're separated and I cut out some things. Maturity is to a great extent the ability to put cause and effect together. Let me say that again. Maturity is to a great extent the ability to put cause and effect together.
Right.
So in your life, Harry, you have figured out cause and effect. You have figured out that when you do not pay your telephone bill, it gets cut off. And as a mature person, you dodge the bullet. You don't get your phone cut off by paying the bill on a regular basis.
Right.
That's cause and effect. To not pay your telephone bill and get angry at the phone company for cutting it off is immature. To put out negative energy and then be resentful that negative energy is coming at you is immature. So maturity, to a great extent, is the ability to put cause and effect together. Doesn't mean it's easy. Just means it has to be done. Okay? And remember that when you try to put cause and effect together, it's not going to work every time on every topic. There are some causes and effects that are cosmically not in your ballpark. Your brain is too small to see the connection, and you're going to miss it. That does not mean that there's not cause and effect happening. It just means that some of it you're not going to see, no matter how hard you try. And the other aspect is that some causes may affect your life in the afterlife. And you won't see that until then. Now, that's not everything across the board, but when we have a demand that we see absolutely every single cause and effect, I don't know if you have this experience, but people who go around trying to find the cosmic significance of everything, including breaking a nail and boiling water and dropping an egg, it's wearisome. I'm sure there is some cosmic message, but at some point, just get another egg out of the refrigerator. File your nail down. Get on with your life. And this is what I mean by the little things do have meaning, but to sit around and focus on every tiny detail in life creates a petty life. There will be a cumulative effect. So those kinds of incidents might be happening because you're rushing all the time. And you may have to look at the rushing rather than the specific individual effects. Does that make sense, Harry?
No, the daily review, I suppose, is the thing that's supposed to keep that in your consciousness, and that happens, huh?
Uh-huh. Daily review will give you a larger arc so that you're not bogged down in specific details that in and of themselves may not have cosmic, huge cosmic significance. But the patterns probably do. Now, the second half of the quote on this from Lecture 196 is that the ability to put cause and effect together also indicates the degree of awareness an entity has reached through his development.
Would you say that again? Some words cut out.
That's okay. The ability to put cause and effect together also indicates the degree of awareness an entity has. So let's put it this way. A child may not fully grasp some types of cause and effect, okay? Because it's a child. So when a child says, I do not want to study mathematics, the parent's job is to say, that's too bad. I know the effect of not studying mathematics. And I do not want that effect to happen to you as a grown adult. And therefore, I will mandate that you create a cause for which there is a positive effect. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When you take charge of your own life, you're the one that decides, I must sit down and study this subject. Because I know that there will be an effect. You may know a specific effect, but you may also, as an adult, know a general effect. Okay? So as a mature adult, and I don't mean that to diminish other people, but at some point in our lives, we learn to go to work. We may resist it when we're 18 or 15 or even 25, but at some point, a lot of us just relax and go to work, whatever that work is. And we try to create a regular income that satisfies our needs and requirements. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cause is earning the money, and the effect is a calm life, where you're not fighting bills all the time and you have what you need. When you do not go to work, when you do not earn an income sufficient for your needs, then the effect is that you're always scrabbling for money. Cause and effect. And the more mature you are, the less you argue about it, because you understand, I want this effect, therefore I must create the cause that supports it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about here are the negatives, but the positives, the majority of people that I work with have already taken care of the positives. They have jobs, they have professions, they have families, they have relationships. It may not be exactly what they want, but they have them. The majority of people who come talk to me want to improve what they've got. And when you try to improve what you've got, you've got to look more closely You've got to look at more subtlety. You've got to look at more detail. And you must take greater responsibility, because the things you're looking at are smaller. And the cumulative effect of those smaller issues will create a larger issue in your life. So if you are earning enough money to pay the rent and buy the groceries, but you don't have enough money for a cell phone or a landline, you limit your life. Then one day you wake up and say, I've had it. I'm tired of what I have to do without a telephone. Therefore, I will change my life. I will get a better job. I will take a job that entails more hours than I personally care to work. I will take a job in an industry that offers better pay. That means I may have to dress up a little bit to go to work. It means I may have to live with dress codes and rules of behavior that I may even find offensive. But there's a trade-off here. And the trade-off is, if I do that, I will get more money. And if I get more money, I can spend it on things that I want to spend it on. Cause and effect. When we look at our, from a spiritual perspective, when I work with people, we're not looking at the positive per se. We're looking at things that have gone wrong. We're looking at the injustices. We're looking at the disharmonies. And we're looking at things that are happening, and we do not fully understand it. And this work is about understanding how we contribute to the negativity in our lives, even if it's by closing our eyes and pretending that that doesn't matter. It does, because of the law of awareness. Can you see at this point the full cycle of this? That when you talk about the pain of injustice, injustice implies justice. The spiritual laws are the justice in the universe. But they don't only work when we want them to work. They work all the time. And we selfishly want to flip them on and off like light switches. That's what we want. We want to pay the price most of the time, but not every time. And spiritual law doesn't, it just doesn't do that. So when we try to cheat, that is a negative action. And when we create negativity, it will come back to us in one form or another. That's what this lecture says, and that's what the lecture on cause and effect says. And once we get that cycle, once we get that any negativity we put out is going to come back at us. And once we make the decision not to put out negative energy, not to cheat, not to duck, not to close our eyes, not to find justifications for hatred and pretend that we can hate over here and love in the other place and not take responsibility for that. Once we do that, once we clean up our act, then negativity and disharmony decrease in our lives. Because the reality is that negativity and disharmony result from an interpretation and an attitude. Attitude is the only thing that you control absolutely and completely. No one can change your attitude but you. So some people take an attitude that living in a rich house isn't enough. And that's it. That's their attitude. Their attitude is, I don't have enough. Some people decide that anything that holds the rain off their head is sufficient. And they're happy. And that's their attitude towards life. If the rain isn't coming down on my head, I'm okay. If I get enough food to fill my belly and keep me from becoming diseased and hungry, I'm okay. Whereas someone else sits down at a banquet and whines because the food in front of them is not to their liking. This has nothing to do with reality. This has to do with our attitude, and our attitude is based upon our perception and our story. of what's in front of us. Anyone have any questions? Okay.
Just a comment, Jen. So when we have, you know, we've been blind and ignorant all our majority of our life, and then we sort of awaken, I suppose the hardest part is living by, knowing these spiritual laws and actually sort of living by them. Just going through that painful awareness of being responsible now, as opposed to, you know, it felt easier when we were blind, but in actual fact, there was a high price to pay for that.
Yeah. So imagine if you would that you have been living your life and never checking your bank account balance, never. Okay?
Yeah.
Imagine the late charges that you have accumulated. Okay? They were the little they were the little dings of pain that were supposed to alert you.
So they were there, we didn't feel them.
Yeah. But you kept burning your bank statements for fuel. So you never got the feedback loop. And then one day, you really do have an awakening. You have an epiphany. And you say, my life is a mess and I want to clean it up. And you go to your bank and you ask for all the past statements and you have a whopping amount of late charges. Now, I'm presuming that in my story, anybody who doesn't pay attention to the balance, let's say you had $10,000 in there, okay?
Yes.
Let's say you only spent more or less $200 a month. $100 to $200 a month. But the late charges may have eaten up $6,000 or $7,000. That's the reality.
Yes.
Opening your eyes is not going to make that go away.
No.
So part of what you have to do is part of paying the price for having closed your eyes for all that time period.
Yes.
It's a convenient thing. This cost you $5,975.43. The rest of life is not quite so tidy.
This public sleep.
Yeah. So that was the bill, and you just didn't know that it was accumulating. Karma does the same thing. It may accumulate without triggering an avalanche of events. It may just sit there in the background going ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
Yeah.
And in your epiphany, you say, oh my God. But what the lecture is talking about is that if you, despite your initial reaction, which we're allowed to have, no harm in having an initial reaction, if you finally say, I understand, I get it, I understand cause and effect, I understand the spiritual laws that I was breaking, I understand what attitudes I had that must now change, and I am willing to change those attitudes. I know that it will be irritating to have to balance my bank statement once a week, but I'll probably have to do that for a while to get used to it. And then later, maybe I can relax and do it less often. But I may have to play catch-up here, and I accept that as part of the effect that I created. Can you see the different attitude?
Yep.
The same thing happens in relationship. It is very easy to slip into a place in intimate relationship where you are not investing, you are not building, you are not paying attention. And then your little eyes open one morning, and you turn to your beloved and say, I haven't spoken to you for 2 years. I'm so sorry. Only he's not there. He's in another bed. and you may not be able to get him back. Because there was a price to be paid for your ignorance. And you are not in total control of the ka-ching of your actions.
Yeah.
But
no,
instead
I can
of blaming
all the... I can definitely see all the laws, all the principles that I have broken in the past in ignorance and blindness.
Yeah. So it's a day of reckoning when we have an epiphany about some part of our life. But if we assume, cosmic justice works both ways. Yes, we have to pay the bill, but always remember that cosmic justice dictates that you never have to pay more. Cosmic justice is not like credit cards. It doesn't start accumulating interest on interest on interest on interest, unless that's fair.
Yeah.
So whereas we may be somewhat bitter about what we have to pay, because it's hard to pay an accumulated bill, with cosmic justice, you can relax and believe that you will only pay what is fair. I don't mean to be light about the subject, but have you ever overpaid something? In other words, what I do sometimes when I get a small bill, $5 or $10 bill for something, and I pay $50. I have freedom from paying that bill for a significant period of time. You can overdo in your repayment. You can put forward a true positive energy of saying, I don't want to be like that anymore, and I'll go a little further.
Sure.
And that will also come back to you as cause and effect. It will not turn negative. And you will not lose it because it is cosmic. And cosmic justice is always perfect.
Yep. Yeah, so we have power in the now of changing our attitude and moving forward in whichever direction we choose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. And we don't think about that because we're looking at the bills due. But once you get your bills cleaned up, and I use bills because it's an easy... analogy. Once you become current on your bills, sometimes you pay ahead. Gives you a nice ceiling.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like calling somebody up and anticipating their needs instead of waiting until they call you. People who diet are always working, like, paying off credit cards. We already ate it. That's why we're overweight. So it always feels like there's a negativity in dieting, we're being deprived. Because we didn't see the excess. We didn't feel it or see it as keenly as we're seeing the deprivation that we have to undergo to literally correct the scales. But once you accept what comes in goes out, once you accept that and you learn to live with it, you can stabilize your weight.
Yeah.
You don't fantasize about the potato chips. You know about them. You ate them and you're going to have to ride your bike. That's just the way it works. Or you're going to have to go hungry. So there's a phrase, as in heaven, so below. And what the pathwork says is, as below, so in heaven. The pathwork says that what happens on an earth plane is always a manifestation of spirituality. That your earthly justice is a manifestation of your spiritual justice. That your life will reflect what you put into it. It will also reflect what you take out. That your relationships with others will reflect your generosity and your real love. Or it will reflect an unconscious miserliness and bitterness. It may take time to manifest that. And you may actually, in a lifetime, and this is where it gets really confusing, you may have an accumulated karma where you, it looks like you can get away with something for a while. But spiritual justice says you're not getting away with anything. You are, however, using up your cushion. And the fact that you don't realize that, that's a lack of awareness. Pure and simple. If you were aware, you wouldn't do it. Just like you wouldn't spend your savings if you knew that your pleasure was coming out of your savings account. You would be careful with it. Does that make sense? So because we do not have total consciousness of what our karmic credit card balance is when we come into the planet, we may not see cause and effect as clearly for a while. And that makes it very difficult for some people, because some people may come in with a karmic negative balance. And that may very well make it look like life is unfair. But there's nothing you can do about that except say, cosmic law, spiritual law says that everything is fair. And our job is to figure out why it might be fair that we are undergoing difficulties.
Jan?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to put the right words around this. So how do you discern between when life is unfair because of a karmic debt that needed to be repaid, and I need to suffer the pain of injustice, accept it, versus life is unfair due to, let's say, cause and effect, and I need to figure out what was my cause that brought about this effect? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
What I'd recommend is first you do what you can do. You can't change your karmic balance, whatever that is. You can find out about it, but you can't change it instantaneously. Okay? What you can do is start looking at current cause and effect.
But so, okay, I'm going to use something hypothetical because nothing's coming to me at the moment. But, you know, all right, so I have a situation with someone at work, and I feel like they've backstabbed me, let's say. Well, and actually years ago this did happen, and it was a karmic thing that, you know, I'd had negative karma with these people. So, you know, but how do I know, wow, you know, I need to just let it go because that was a karmic debt that had to be repaid. Okay, they backstabbed me, you know, the bank account's even. Versus, maybe they backstabbed me because I have a false image that says I can't trust people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is this. Changing from a negative reaction to a positive reaction will help no matter which situation you're dealing with. Okay? If someone is backstabbing you, there is a place where you have activated a relationship with that person. Deactivate the relationship. Now, when you deactivate that relationship, just as an example. So if you're working with somebody and they're backstabbing you, one of the things you can do is you can leave that job. most of us are not in slavery, okay? We may feel like it sometimes, but most of us are not. One of the things you can do is make a change and see what happens. Now, if you make a change from one relationship and you go from the frying pan into the fire, then my guess is that there's some karma going on. Okay? But if you make a change and it gets better or lessens or things aren't quite the same, then there was probably a current life loop happening there, cause and effect loop. Either way, it's information. Either way, if you go from one situation to the other and the pattern goes with you, now you have information. The pattern is inside you and may need to be dealt with on a deeper level of reality. Okay? So karma is not like bank accounts, even though it's fun to use that as an example. Karma is spiritual development. It means that you were mean to people and you created grief. On a spiritual level, an epiphany, a recognition, an acceptance of what we've done can shift that karma instantaneously. Does that make sense? Karma is not like pounds of weight. It is not like dollars in the bank. Karma is about development. If you cause someone grief and you get it, this is getting complicated, I'll try it though. On a karmic level, if you honestly, profoundly get it, and you honestly, profoundly say, I will never do that again. I will not only never do it again, I will look for whatever I can do to perform restitution. I will go out and do community service to show my intention to change. Karmically, things change very rapidly at that point. Does that make sense? Did I lose you, Lila?
Oh, no, I just thought that was more of a general question. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that whether or not it's karmic and you brought it in, or whether you are creating it in this lifetime, you can still address it. It is still in you. And the power to address it is still in your hands. The issue may be larger than you realized. That's all. And one of the ways you find that out is you notice it's a pattern of behavior instead of a single incident. So in the pathwork, what we're looking for is patterns of distortions, more so than single incidents. So for instance, if I go out and I get a speeding ticket, I like to think of some tickets as being random taxation. The city needs money, and I've just been tapped on the shoulder to contribute $150. But if I get a series of them, that's different. Okay? If I have one difficult relationship, and there are no others like that in my life, I can address that. But if there's a pattern of getting involved with a certain personality type, if there's a pattern of being betrayed in my life, then there's something bigger I need to look at. So what I'm indicating is whether or not you bring it in with you karmically or you are working within cause and effect in this lifetime, it only matters in terms of depth and magnitude. That's all. No one else can address it for you.
Again, even if you're working on, like, it karmically from a previous life or something, wouldn't we sort of set up the right circumstances in our lifetime to activate it anyway?
Yes. So in other words, the larger
for it to be a current, for it to be more a current event than for us to work on.
Yes. So when you were a party to creating this life, you were looking at working on that issue. And in order to work on it, you may have wanted to manifest more negativity about it than the incident itself might have warranted. Not as punishment, but so you would get it, so you would pay attention to it.
Yep.
Because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So from a human standpoint, it may seem like some people are having very difficult lives. From a spiritual standpoint, they're just working hard. And some people who have easy lives may also be working hard from a spiritual standpoint. But from a human standpoint, it looks like a life of ease. My personal belief is nobody gets a free lunch. My personal belief is that everybody who came here has a job to do. And what the guide says is you are in no position to judge the spiritual reality of any other individual.
Jen?
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about the ninth principle?
About which principle?
The ninth one.
Okay. Turn the page, turn the page. Okay. Love, okay. I'm going to read this just to remind myself the sentence that goes with it. You have to reach a certain state and fully be in that state before it can be abandoned for a fuller state. It is often overlooked by man and even more often totally ignored. This is one of the great important laws for man to know and deeply comprehend. Okay. I need to joke about this because the specifics are, you know, we don't have any specifics, okay? If you want to be a wise person, you're going to have to walk through many aspects of life, okay? You can't just do one thing and become wise. It doesn't work like that. So to become wise, you need to have a certain breadth of experience, right? If you ignored certain areas of consciousness, you would not become a wise person. Because wisdom is cumulative. Okay? Now, I can't name the states of consciousness, which is why I use analogies. So, again, look at a child. What if a child played truant and didn't go to school? It didn't inhabit the state of consciousness of learning the rote of reading and writing and math. Eventually, that grown-up would have to go back and pick that up, right? Or you can't be a well-rounded adult without some form of education. You can survive, but it will limit you. I don't like to speak in generalities, so I'm feeling a little awkward here, but let me try this, and I hope that I'm not transmitting judgment on how people should live their lives. But it is a common human experience that raising children makes us better people. It is not to say that you can't become a great person without children. But most of us need the help of having to pack lunches and clean the house and be ordered around by little tyrants. And over time, it softens us up, and it makes us less liable to make dictatorial statements and think we can get away with it, because you don't get away with that with children. Raising children makes us, and I'm speaking from my experience, raising children made me less selfish. I inhabited a state of consciousness where my days were involved with other people's needs that very often out-prioritized mine. And at this stage in my life, I am a more generous, more open, more giving, more understanding person than I think I might have been if I hadn't had that experience. So for me to teach spirituality, my children helped me. They helped me learn certain states of consciousness. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question, Wendy? Wendy might have muted herself. She might be answering.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
it wasn't me who asked that question about
I'm sorry.
But I did have that question, so you're quite psychic there.
I really apologize. I misunderstood the voice. Whoever did ask the question, if you have a continuation of that question, I'm happy to work with it.
It was me. Selena asked the question.
Oh.
I muted myself because there's a buzzing on my side, so I'm wondering if you all got it too, the buzzing.
It's not strong to me right now.
I don't get any buzzing, but words have been cutting out all through the whole period. I hope there'll be some opportunity to get a recording of this.
Yes, I will be issuing it this evening. I have to trim it, and then I'll post it on the internet.
Okay.
So, Selena, your question, does that help with understanding principle number 9?
Yes, it does.
These aren't easy, but they are also not intellectual exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel into the principle, you'll be okay. You really will.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that helps is that, I like to tease this way, but I do mean it very, very seriously. If you inhabit one spiritual principle, absolutely, completely, and utterly, you don't have to worry about the others.
Mm.
They'll come naturally. So, for instance, take the law of paying the price. If you absolutely agree to pay whatever price is necessary for what you receive, doesn't that take care of 9?
Mm.
Every time you come across an experience, won't you walk in saying, what do I need to do? And just do it? So in the same sense, and this is where the teasing comes in, if you get to the point where you understand one of these guide lectures, absolutely, completely and utterly, in every fiber of your being, in every cell of your body, to some degree, you get them all. Because all the lectures are simply rephrasings of the same points, coming at them from different angles and different perspectives and using different examples. So you don't have to worry about dotting I's and crossing T's with spirituality. All you have to do is straighten out your attitude and your intention, and it will carry you. And the truth is that if you have a positive attitude and a good intention and you hit something, that's your work. It's not a punishment. It is simply the work that you came on this planet to do. Because we didn't come here to play. play is part of our experience. It is not the purpose of our experience. The purpose of our experience here on this planet is to grow. And growth always requires that there's some resistance, because if you have no resistance, you grow automatically. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't decide. You don't decide that your heart beats. It just beats. Unless you have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how spirituality works. When I work with people, sometimes I spend a lot of time reminding them what works. Because most people discount how good their lives are. Because the one piece of disharmony can ruin your whole day. And we need to really get that that is a 5-minute disharmony that flavors the whole day, but it was only 5 minutes. Even if it's an hour, even if it's 2 hours, very few of us are tormented 24 hours a day by problems. We may have awareness of our problems 24 hours. But most of us sleep at some point, which means we release it. We let it go. We get rest and relaxation. And we wake up. The problem may appear again, but that's what it's supposed to do. You're not supposed to forget about your spiritual growth. And so like pain, it sits on your shoulder waiting there for you to wake up saying, "Hi, good morning. Can we go back to work now? Are you rested?" That's what it's supposed to do. I have some pictures, little cartoons on my wall. And I forget the gentleman's name, but they're beautiful and they're lovely and light and charming. And one of them says, "Most people don't know that there are angels whose only job is to make sure you don't get too comfortable and fall asleep and miss your life." Let me read that again. "Most people don't know that there are angels whose only job is to make sure you don't get too comfortable and fall asleep and miss your life." The premise of the pathwork is that we came here with a positive intention to work. And if we clean up our positive intention and get it running like a lovely, nice, giant steam engine, we're going to get a lot of work done. You don't get the steam engine working and then go have picnics. We came here with skills and talents and abilities and work to do. And we're allowed to do other things, but we're supposed to be doing some work in addition. Does that help, Selena?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? The worksheet that I included with this on the four pages, and again, I will look up and if the worksheet that I posted has some kind of conversion problem, I will replace it, and I'll look at it tonight. So when I announce the recording is on the website, which I will do to all of you who are here, I will also tell you if I had to replace the file with something more appropriate or that wasn't mucked up. But the worksheet that's here, in the middle of it, it says work. It says, "Try to perceive behind resistance to face negative aspects." Oh dear, sorry about this. The sentences are about as clean as the guides. "Try to perceive behind resistance to face negative aspect lies greater resistance to see negative patterns." That sentence makes no sense at all. But I didn't write it, so there you go. Anyway, it says work, and then it has bullet points. And the bullet points say that, and it's not numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but just imagine that it does, that the first step would be to admit resistance. A second step might be to note the duality, the longing to make a connection and the fear that no connections exist. So with injustice, the longing for justice and the terror that there is none. Third, note where you hide your lower self from the helper and are frustrated that you can deceive your helper. Obviously, this is a worksheet for working with a therapist, but since you are your own best helper, do this with yourself. So note where you hide your lower self from yourself and are frustrated that you can deceive yourself. This furthers the pain of believing the universe is unfair. Next, find moments of relief in past work when you realized fairness of life to help you see cause and effect. There are places in your life where you have worked this out. Use them. Use the successes that you've had to address the current situation. Next, to see the actions, thoughts, hidden intentionalities, feelings, and attitudes that have definitive results or effects. It's a little bit of CSI work. It's investigatory work. It's self-analysis. And it may not be obvious. You may have to work a little bit. Seeing behind your own biases is really hard to do, because you're your own worst enemy. You're trying to hide from yourself. It takes time. It takes effort. And it takes some skill. It can also benefit from having other people to work with, and that includes friends and family. And there is nothing deadlier than a child pointing a finger at you, telling you that you're unfair, to help you see, yeah, I guess I am. But to say, I'm unfair, requires a little humility. So you can feel this whole mechanism. If you're going in the wrong direction, you've got to turn this around. It's no different than being barreling down the road in an automobile and having to make a U-turn and come back. It's going to take some effort. Depending on the situation, you may have to make a 3-point turn to turn around. Other times, you may simply be able to spin around and head the other way. So use the times when the turnarounds were easy. And take a look at what you did and how you felt and the tools you used, and see if those tools will be used in a situation that's more difficult. The next would be overcome resistance to make every crevice of the self known and take responsibility for it. If you've got some negativity going on, then you're putting it out, and you're going to have to confess to it. And that's hard to do. Next, to notice the struggle between opposite will directions of fear of revealing and the longing to reveal. So sometimes we want the ending so badly that we don't want to do the work to get there. It's important to honor both. You really want to see that you want to do this work, and that you're frustrated, and you may be pushing too hard. But honor the longing. Honor the wanting to do the work, the wanting to address the negative situation. And don't be discouraged. One of the tricks of the lower self is to say, it's not working, quit. Well, that doesn't do any good. And the lower self knows that. But if it gets you to quit, its job is done. It can go watch telly. And you're sitting there having quit. So honor your longing. And honor the fact when you won't give up, that you won't give up because you have a positive intention to grow. The next is to feel the pain of believing the universe is unjust. If you didn't believe it was unjust, you wouldn't feel the pain. So since you feel the pain, you might as well fess up to some part of me believes that the universe is unjust. Imagine for just a moment how tragic that would be. Just imagine for a moment that there are no rules, there is no God, and that we're all wasting our time. Now, that's just not true in my world. But if I believe any part of that, my heart breaks. And this work is about feeling into that and really getting the pain instead of ignoring it and blocking it out. Because blocking it out is a way of reducing awareness. And that's a spiritual principle. When you block awareness, you don't see clearly. The next one is to establish awareness of struggle to heal the pain. Admit that it's going to take work. And the last point is to pray for faith in your divine essence to reveal and recognize what covers it up. Now, sitting around praying won't get all the work done. But never talking to yourself and to God can make it feel overwhelming, can make the workload feel like you'll never get through it. So take a break and spend a moment in prayer and appreciation. Well, I think that's it. My clock says we're done. Are there any questions, burning questions?
Jan, that last part, I never did get that. Where do those pages come from, those numbered steps?
That's on the handout that is on my website.
Uh-huh.
And on the page with the audio recordings, I have a little link, and you click on it, it downloads an Adobe PDF file. And in theory, that's what I'm reading to you, is that Adobe PDF file. Now, that's what one of the other people were saying, was there may be something wrong with the file. I'll fix it tonight.
Okay, you'll have it on the, it'll be repeated on the current email?
I can send it, I will send it out to you.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll send you a copy.
Thank you.
What I do is I clip and I cut this thing in half, the recording, and then I have to mount it. I have to upload it back onto the website. And once I do that, then I announce that it's done and you can go download it, download the recording. When I send you the email saying it's ready to go, I will include this worksheet.
Okay.
To everybody, and they can download it or not. Okay?
That'll be good, because I really lost a lot in the transmission of especially the last portion.
Okay.
I hope it comes across clear. I can get it then.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you, except that when you speak, I hear you clearly.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it might be. So, if you do have any questions, you are always welcome to email me. And otherwise, I'll say good evening, good morning, depending on where you are.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye.